Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name is Kerry Stevenson. Got something that's gone under the radar for you, ladies and gentlemen. Western Mines Group, ASX code is WMG. They only listed in July this year, but they have not been sitting back and doing nothing. They've been doing a lot of work. I'm pretty excited that Dr. Kidman Marriott, who's the managing director, is joining me today. First time that you're going to be hearing about Western Mines Groups. Now, I've been chatting to Kidman before, and there's a lot for us to chat about today. Good to see you, Kidman. Thanks for joining me on Small Caps.
Well, thank you very much, Kerry. And yes, great to be on. And it's good to finally get to talk to you about WMG.
I know, because you've been very quiet. You've been doing all the work. So I'm really excited that we're launching Western Mine Groups. There's been plenty of IPOs out there. Before we get into the detail, just tell our listeners, who's Western Mines Group? What are you doing? Where are your projects?
Okay, so Western Mines Group, we're entirely based in WA. We have eight projects, a diversified portfolio focused mostly on gold and nickel and copper, all in WA, on a number of major mineral belts there. And yes, as you say, we listed at the end of July. It's been a very busy few months, both in the lead into the IPO and then post IPO. For the last couple of months, we've been very much head down on the technical work, and so yeah, and a lot of news flow is starting to come out recently, and it's good to come on and start to talk about the company.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited because you haven't been speaking about it. You've been doing what I call a lot of foundation work and working out where the targets are. So let's start with the projects. First of all, they're all 100% owned by Western Mines Group, which is keeps it nice and simple. You've got a really interesting flagship project. Let's start with that one, which is, I think, is it Mulga Tanks?
Mulga Tank, that's correct. Mulga Tank. Yeah, so we have eight projects, and I think we kind of consider Mulga Tank and Jasper Hill as our two flagships. And as you say, Mulga Tank is, it's a huge ultramafic intrusion, a dunite intrusion, about 190 kilometers east of Kalgoorlie. So less explored terrain, and we own a whole of this intrusion, and it's highly prospective for nickel, copper, PGEs. There's very good evidence there for a working nickel copper system, and very lightly explored.
190 kilometers east of Kalgoorlie. Yeah. How'd you pick up a project like that? I thought all of that ground was covered, been well covered, and there was nothing left. So how did you go? Because it's quite big, isn't it? 25 square k's or something?
Yes, well, our tenement area there, we're on the southern end of the Manigual Greenstone Belt. We have a couple of tenements there, about 110 square kilometres, one of which the company identified and pegged ourselves, and the other one was part of, we brought off a local prospector as part of the setting up for the IPO. He held the Mulga Tank intrusion. So yeah, it's about an 80 square kilometer tenement, of which the intrusion itself is about 25 square kilometers. So something equivalent sort of size, slightly smaller than about the sort of the Cambalda Dome area, that nickel camp there. And it's a dunite intrusive. So similar sort of host rock to up around Leinster to Mount Keith or Perseverance deposits like that.
Why has it flown under the radar? Why hasn't it been discovered and drilled out in the past?
Partly because as you get out that way, you head further east, you're starting to get under some cover. So probably the tenement is sort of anywhere between 10 and 60 metres of shallow sand cover. We're just a bit to the north, actually, of Legend and their Mawson discovery. It's about 140 k's north of them. Slightly different because they're in the Fraser Range and we're on the edge of the Yilgarn, but similar kind of geomorphology and terrain. So we'll be using similar techniques to what they've used. And in fact, Russell Mortimer of Southern Geoscience does a lot of our geophysical advisory work So similar to how he, you know, the techniques used for Mawson, high resolution ground gravity and high resolution EM surveys, of which commenced last week.
I was just about to ask you that. How much work have you done and what's the news flow going forward? Because as I said in the beginning when I introduced you, you've only listed in July. What work have you done to date? And where's the value uplift, I think, going forward? I know it's exploration, but what do you see as the value for shareholders and potential investors going forward with this?
Yeah, so just stepping back, obviously pre-IPO, we're putting together a lot of the historic work, and this area was explored relatively recently in sort of 2013 to 2016 by Impact Minerals. And I've seen Mike Jones on your show a number of times, and I certainly like his work. So they explored this. They did a lot of good groundwork for us and, in fact, left us with an amazing sort of early stage data set. But they were just working in 2015-16 in a $4, $8,000 a ton nickel price. And so we're, you know, over two times that now. So we've taken that data set and we're very much building on that. And we think geophysics will be the key to unlocking this intrusion. So off the bat, off the IPO, we went straight into a very high resolution ground gravity survey. Previously, the intrusion had kind of been mapped. Gravity, things like ground magnetics, air magnetics and gravity are very much sort of mapping tools. The previous survey had been done at sort of 400 meter spacing, and we infilled that down to 200 meters and areas of interest down to 100. So we've got a much, much better gravity data set over the entire intrusion that we're starting to do 3D inversion modeling work on to be able to sort of model that intrusion at depth. And then as well, what we've been waiting on recently and what started last week is a very large moving loop EM survey. Impact did do a survey back in sort of 2013-14. The survey that we plan to do will be a lot, I mean, there's just been advances in the technology, so it's a lot higher power. Ours will be 100 amp versus theirs at 30, so something like over three times the power. And again, a lot higher resolution. We'll take that down to 200 meter spacing.
Fred, sorry and to also, interrupt you, because there might be people out there that don't know what an EM survey is and what that means. So I guess I could explain it, which is, you know, the higher the power, the more chargeability you get. But if you could just explain to those people that are just learning about this potentially.
Yeah. So essentially you're laying out long cables and you're injecting an electric current into the ground to look at the different conductivity conductivity of the rock. And what you're trying to find is areas of higher conductivity, which could be associated with massive sulfide deposits being, you know, bedrock conductive targets. And so, yeah, the higher power you have, the greater depth you can image to within the intrusion. And then obviously the narrower spacing, the higher resolution and the more detail that you can look in. So we know, if we step back, we know from some of this work, and there has been some drilling in the intrusion, but there's only been 11 deep holes over, as I said, 25 square kilometers, so less than one hole per 2 kilometers. But nearly every single one of those holes shows good evidence for nickel copper sulfides, so you know, primary magmatic sulfides. So we know that the geochemical processes were working to generate these sulfide droplets. And now what we're looking for is where these sulfide droplets have dropped down onto the basal, the floor of the intrusion, and hopefully have accumulated into large, massive sulfide deposits. And we think with the EM targeting, we're looking to find where those conductive targets are, and that's what we'll be drilling.
EM survey is going on right now. When does that finish and when will that news come out?
Correct. So it started now. As I say, it's a large intrusion. This is a large piece of work. So the full survey will take 2 months. But we're doing it very much we've divided it up into three blocks where we've orientated the survey differently to optimize it to how we see the geology and the structure of the intrusion changing. And so there'll be kind of three legs of news flow as we complete each survey, each area over the next 2 months. We'll be able to start to, you know, hopefully, you know, reveal the number of these conductors that we find, each of which, you know, potential drill targets.
You know, I hate to make a, but as an investor, I'm just thinking in my head, has it got, because Chalice found the Julimar deposit close to Perth. Are there any similarities to that? Because you mentioned PGEs before. Is it anything like that, the rocks, or is it completely different? I'm not a geologist. I just wanted to find out.
Well, all of these types of intrusions are hosted in ultramafic rocks, in ultramafic intrusions. It's probably less similar to some of those. That's a lot more layered and stratigraphied. This is a sort of a large dunite intrusion. So as I said, more similar to a Mount Keith, Perseverance, okay, up around Leinster. But yes, it's the ultramafic rock intrudes into the ground, and it needs to reach what's called sulfur saturation. And at that point, sulfide droplets precipitate out of the intrusion, collect up all the nickel, copper, and the PGEs that preferentially go into the sulfide versus into the rock. And then they hopefully rain down onto the intrusion floor and accumulate. So we know the geochemistry is working. There's very good evidence for that. Without that, you've got no chance of finding a deposit. And so now it's the physics of where the dynamics of this intrusion, how it's moved through the crust, and where these deposits of massive sulfides have precipitated out.
And that's what the EM survey is going to show you over the next couple of months.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that'll show us the bedrock conductor targets that have potential to be massive sulfides. Yeah.
Okay, so it's a big area. That's Mulga Tank. It's one of your flagships, but you also mentioned Jasper Hill. Where's Jasper Hill in the?
Yes, so Jasper Hill is about 80 kilometres southeast of Laverton, on the Marulia Greenstone Belt. Again, as you get more out of town there, you're getting further east in the Yilgarn, it's getting less explored. The area around Jasper Hill in particular, again, some of these licences were part of what we put together for the IPO. Another couple of licences around us, one of which we pegged recently, and the other we just announced an acquisition on Friday to buy a neighbouring tenement. This one I'm particularly excited about. It's been held by a local family out of Leonora for about the last 30 years or so. Oh, wow. And in fact, the vendor's father mined this area, mined part of the tenement himself in the 60s and the 80s, and trucked ore up to the Laverton battery for processing. So we've kind of now consolidated the area. This will be our primary gold project. We've got a very interesting mineralized trend over about 3 kilometers that's very lightly drilled, but some very good intersections. This is drilling from the mid 80s, some broad intersections, kind of 13, 14, 15 meters at a gram and a half, 2 grams a ton gold, of which there's some high grade portion at 8 grams. But then just not another drill hole for another 100, 200 meters along this strike, and just not Wow. followed up since the 80s. And as I say, this has been in private ownership. There's two gold mines right near us, Lord Byron and Fish, that were mined in 2011, 2012. But this package, it's never been part of that package around us that's been in public companies. This has always been in private ownership. And so, it's great to get our hands on it for the first time in 30, 40 years. And we'll be getting out there again towards the end of the year to start proving that up for drilling programs there for gold.
So how long will it take before you understand where the drill targets might be? Is that a 3 month program or 2 months?
Yes, well, we're in the process of the acquisition now. That should close in the next 2 weeks, and then we'll be out on the ground. Some of these, it's walk-up drill targets. I mean, if you've got a hole that's running, you know, an intersection of 8 grams a ton and nobody's had a look, and that's at 16, 20 meters depth, wow, and nobody's drilled underneath it, then, yeah, I mean, we can, you know, we're looking for drill rigs at the moment to be able to go and drill that.
Kidman, how hard is it to get drill rigs at the moment? Are you managing to get your hands on any?
Yeah, I mean, we recently drilled at Rock of Ages, which I'm sure we'll get onto. And yeah, so we executed that first drill program within the sort of the month, 6 weeks after listing. So yes, there's available There is some availability around, but as you say, yeah, you've got to be onto it quickly.
Absolutely. Now, I'm conscious of time. Jasper Hill, that's gold, 80 kilometres southeast of Laverton, being held in private hands, lots of work to be done there, and potentially lots of news. Melita is another one that you're looking at. Where's Melita?
Melita's in a very hot spot at the moment, actually. It's right there. It's about 20 kilometres south of Leonora, just north of Kukaini. We're completely, well, surrounded all on our western side by Genesis Minerals.
Oh, yeah.
There was certainly, there was some big news flow from them, was it last week or the week before? And also there's been a number of recent listings, again, just to the south of us. Iris Metals listed the other week. They have a few tenements to the south, and Mount Markham Mines to the north. So it's a very much a re-energized area around Kukaini there. And yeah, we have a big tenement there. It's about 105 square kilometers. And again, prospective for both gold. There's some old historic gold workings there that we've been out investigating with some soil sampling and ground magnetics. And then also a portion of the tenement, very prospective for copper and zinc, kind of copper and zinc, copper lead zinc VMS systems as well. Some, again, some historic gossans on surface from sort of the 70s and 80s that haven't really had much follow-up work. But yeah, we're interested in copper as well, so we'll be out exploring those.
So nothing's been done on this for decades either. So these are all really... You've been under the radar, but actually the projects that you've picked up, no one's done very much modern day work on them.
Yeah, I'd say that's correct. Certainly on the people have looked there more recently in for gold, but yes, on the copper lead zinc side, no, not any copper focused exploration, that's for sure.
It's pretty exciting projects you've got, but I noticed that you put out an announcement on Rock of Ages, because I know that Mulga Tank, Jasper Hill and Melita, they're your kind of your flagships. That's where your focus is, but what's Rock of Ages? Because you put an announcement out about that.
Yeah, so I think just taking a step back to talk about the portfolio in general for Rock of Ages, yeah, so those are our three flagship projects, and they're our flagships because they're our bigger projects. There's multiple exploration targets, multiple different exploration windows or styles of mineralization or commodity. And then within our portfolio as well, we've got another sort of five projects, and some of these are smaller. There may be single target, single commodity, things like that, but they add incremental news flow. We're working across the whole portfolio. And so whilst we're doing larger geophysical programs at Mulga Tank, as an example, we're also able to prove up and run drilling programs on a number of these other projects as well. And one of these is Rock of Ages. This is a very nice little project. There's very extensive historic workings over about sort of 500-600 meters of strike, and there's recorded production here in the early 1900s. About 2,000 ounces at 50 grams a ton was hand dug down these little shafts down to sort of 30-35 meters depth. Again, we're quite close to Laverton. We're surrounded by Focus Minerals, and their Burtville and their Carrydale deposits are within 5 kilometres of us, and we own a tiny little portion in the middle. And it's a walk-up drill target. Again, nobody's really tested these extensive workings at depth. A company called Esmeralda Exploration did in 1985, but they drilled too close to the historic working, so they actually hit the stopes underground. So it had been mined out. They didn't realise how deep these old timers had gone down. So we've kind of stepped back and we've drilled underneath, and yeah, we put out the results this morning. We just did 5 holes because it's a small target, risk reward. We're just, you know, having a first explore of it, but every single hole came back with anomalous gold, and including some very nice high grade hits in there. There was a 4 meters, a bit over 5 grams a ton, of which some of that was running at 9 grams a ton. And another good intersection, again, 4 meters at sort of 2.8 grams a ton with some 3.5 grams a ton in there as well. So it looks like it's heavily weathered, but when you get down below the weathering into the fresh, there's definitely some good high grade mineralization left there. So that's very exciting for us. I think, you know, it warrants going back and following up on that. And so, yeah, again, we're looking for a rig there as well to go and put some more holes in, and we have all the approvals in place for that one. So yeah, as soon as we get a rig, we can go and follow up on that.
So that's what you'll be doing. And where do you find gold, ladies and gentlemen? Quite often where it's been found before, because as you say, they haven't been exploring it for the last 40 odd years. There's no modern technology on it. They only went down to 35 meters. Some of these systems can go a lot deeper than that.
No, absolutely. Yes. So that's just another little string in our bow of a little project on the side, but we're getting some, you know, it's nice to get some runs on the board in our, you know, our first drilling program since listing. So
Yeah, and you're tightly held, not a lot of shares on issue, but let's get to the guts of it. And everybody knows this is how I like to finish up my interviews. So get ready, Kaidman, get ready. Three reasons why you think that now is the time for investors to look at ASX WMG, West Mines Group.
Okay, three reasons. Well, we're well funded with some very high impact exploration across sort of multiple company making targets. As you said, we've been under the radar since listing. I think we've had 2 months of strong technical work, and we're now entering that sweet spot of news flow across a number of our key projects over the next 2 to 3 months. And then, yeah, we've got a market cap of 8-9 million. We've got $5 million in the bank, very tightly held, 44 million shares. I think we're ready. We're locked and loaded to deliver that that shareholder uplift, that shareholder value with a number of key projects.
You heard it here on Small Caps First, ladies and gentlemen. There you have it. 8-9 million market cap, 44 million shares, cash in the bank of 5 mil, lots of projects that they're covering, but also these have not been covered before, or at least not for the last 30 odd years. So they've got this great portfolio that they've put together. Kaidman Marriott, great to see you on Small Caps. Thanks for sharing the story, because goodness me, I think there's a lot of great news today. I'll be watching very closely. Thanks for joining us on Small Caps today.
Thank you very much, Kerry. Great to be on.